If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Create systems that work. You know, when something gives you a result, don't stop doing it. Mm. Just try to make yourself better at it and then do things that are similar so that you can continue to grow.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Andrea is a real estate investor, author, and educator. She has completed hundreds of deals across the United States and continually shares her knowledge with new investors. She loves exploring new markets, creative strategies, and investment categories. She's an avid volunteer and works with affordable housing and many other nonprofits in the Denver metro area.
Andrea, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Oh man, it's such a pleasure to get to interview you, and I'm just pumped to hear the nuggets of wisdom you can share with us. Just to jump right in, can you give us an idea of where you started in real estate, where you are now, and how you got there?
Well, I would say I've started probably how most people started in real estate. You know, the idea that they wanted to control your financial future and looking for a different avenue than traditional 401k to grow our assets. And my husband had read one of Carnegie's books that said, most millionaires either made their wealth or held their wealth in real estate. So if we want to be a millionaire, that's what we got to do. So we dove in. We didn't have a whole lot of money saved up. So we started out with the basics of wholesaling, realized that owning stuff was the way to real wealth, not just doing deals. You know, flips, wholesales are great for chunks of cash, but they don't necessarily, you know, create that wealth that's going to create the passive income, which is what I love about commercial now. So we slowly worked our way up. I've done hundreds of deals across the country and have now branched into many of the assets that you invest in, including storage units and larger facilities along the way. So it took a while to get here. It took me about 5-6 years of doing this and working a full-time job before I was able to jump into real estate full-time. So,
gotcha. So are you still working a W-2 job, or you said you are full-time?
Nope. Yep, full-time. I left a W-2 job about 8 years ago. So.
Okay,
yep,
so what feels amazing. That's awesome. I'm sure it does. How long ago did you start investing in real estate to start out then?
We started about 15 years ago, and it took 2 years of kind of figuring it out and then 5 years of working a system so that I could build up that cash flow that no matter whether I was doing a wholesale or a flip, I had rental wealth coming in that was going to pay for what I was making at a W-2 job. So it was great to walk away.
Right. Absolutely. Can you share with us some key lessons that you learned along the way, you know, from starting out to where you are now? What would be a nugget that you could give us? Hey, man, this is a key lesson.
I would say two things. One, create systems. Anything that you do consistently, you're going to have much more success with. I think what I see a lot of times and what I was guilty of, again, that first couple of years is, let's try everything. Let's try every strategy. Oh, that's the new shiny object, or that looks like it might be easier. And it just never got me where I needed to go until I consistently did the same things over and over and over again. So create systems that work. You know, when something gives you a result, don't stop doing it. Mm. Just try to make yourself better at it and then do things that are similar so that you can continue to grow. And then beyond that, creating a team. You know, everywhere that you invest, if you can create that leverage of having other people help you be successful, you can get so much more done. I heard somebody use the phrase one time, you'll just clog your own drain. Meaning if you try to do everything yourself, like at some point in time, the funnel isn't going to be successful. So, you know, as you can get that, you know, power team people on working with you, you can do so much more. And that leverage is what's going to lead you to being successful and accomplishing what you need to accomplish to fulfill your goals.
Wow. That's awesome. That's a great piece of advice. Do you have people in-house currently that's part of your team, or is it all outsourced VAs, or what does that look like for you?
Yeah, it's all outsourced. So our company is pretty much my husband and I, which he actually still works a W-2 job, which he likes to do for the connection. And it sure helps to have a W-2 on the system when you're trying to do financing things.
Correct.
So it's just the two of us, but you know, getting the right property managers, getting the right real estate agents, working with other investors, having lenders, title companies, different people, even in chambers of commerce, that can help you know what's cutting edge, what's happening, what's coming up. And if you're plugged into those things, like I don't have to be an expert on all of those different things. Mm. When I have a question or I'm like, yeah, should I move forward in this direction? I'm trying something new. I have the resources to go to instead of, you know, happen to know everything or research to death. Because I find sometimes the more I research, the more confused I get. So having the right experts on my team is huge.
Isn't that so true? You can dive into data and eventually you get completely cross-eyed. You go, gosh, I've spent 4 hours right there and accomplished absolutely nothing. So when you went to scale, like when you started moving from, you know, smaller assets to larger assets, was there bad advice you received along the way, missteps you took, pitfalls, surprises, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's kind of a motto I live by. It's trust but verify. And I think that's very powerful when it comes to working with that team of people. You want to have the right people on your team and you want to be able to rely on them, but make sure they're the right people first. Mm. You know, you might have to that first, each time you branch into a new market or working with a new team member, you need to kind of dial in and confirm all the data. Is this accurate? An example is even just when I was working in a new market, the real estate agent that I was working with was like, oh, this community's hot. You won't have any problem. You know, and I was like, ah, it's a tri-level. I haven't had a lot of success with tri-levels. And they're like, oh, it doesn't matter. This neighborhood's great. Well, it did matter. A tri-level was still less attractive than, you know, and I should have run it by a couple other agents instead of just somebody who was giving me that feel, or spend a little bit more time just in a Facebook group with other investors in the area saying, hey, would you guys do this one? And when I did it later, several of them said, yeah, we would have, but we would have gotten a lower price to make up for it. So again, trust but verify. Make sure your data is correct before you dive in.
Right. So yeah, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely, especially when dealing with someone who has a financial incentive for you to right. purchase whatever it is you're going to buy. Like, okay, you might be shooting straight with me, but you might not. So mm-hmm. let's look into some other sources. And yeah, using Facebook and things like that, that's an incredible resource. I mean, there's enough Absolutely. Groups, I think, out there that can help you kind of, you know, say, hey, no, this is good or bad or ugly. And so if you're asking legitimate questions, you'll get, I think, honest answers back. So mm-hmm. what about, I know you said you guys are growing into bigger assets now. Can you kind of shed some light on what that, now that you've developed your system on the smaller side, what your current focus is and what that looks like for you?
Well, as I said, I love teams. I am obsessed with networking. The more people I know, the more successful I can be. And so we've actually branched out a lot into doing some syndication work, working with other large companies that can take advantage of deals that, even though we're doing exceptionally well in real estate, we're not ready to take on a $5 million project ourselves right, or a right. $14 million project. So finding people that we can invest syndication-wise with, that we can kind of partner as a passive investor in those investments and then mm-hmm. kind of learn some of the hoops. So that's definitely been helpful. Same thing with like multifamily investments. You know, if I want to take on an apartment complex, I can handle probably a 20 unit.
Right.
But I realize to make better efficiency, effective amount of my money, you know, 100 unit might be the better target. So if I team up with partners, which we've been able to network with a couple different groups to, you know, get four or five of us to pool together and do a couple of projects together, which has been awesome.
Now, are you bringing the deals? Are you bringing the capital? What does your side of this look like?
Usually we're bringing some of the funding and then also doing a lot of deals research. So I've gotten really involved with different commercial investing sites. You know, LoopNet, I pretty much live on. I've made relationship with a lot of the brokers there instead of just looking at the deal that everybody sees and then making right. an offer, reaching out to a lot of the brokers on there, proactively saying, hey, you know, we can, you know, come and work with you without bringing necessarily another broker in so you can get more funds if you want to bring us deals directly first, which has been right. awesome.
Right. And so are you guys, if you're bringing the capital, is it only your capital or are you bringing investors along with you as well?
We've done some partners. We have a couple investors that come in and bring capital with us, but then we have another partner that's down in the Florida, Alabama market that has done multifamily. So they're bringing a lot of the expertise and a little bit of the money as well. So we kind of have a division of power.
Absolutely. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. And when you guys bring your other equity partners in, what's the structure like that? What does the structure look like on that?
For the most part, we've been doing kind of joint ventures. So we create an LLC for the company, and then people have shares based on what they're bringing in. So like our partners in Florida that have bringing some money in, but they get additional credit for doing a lot of the work.
Sure.
And so we all break up, you know, what we decide is a fair division of that LLC.
Right. And so far that's worked out pretty well for you.
Yep. Again, having it spelled out very clearly in the operating agreement of who's bringing what and who's responsible for what and what shares people get has made it upfront. Communication, especially in any sort of partnership, is 100% key. So keeping that clear up front has been fabulous. We personally haven't gotten to a point where we need to do a private placement memorandum. We're not working with huge groups of people that we're soliciting accredited vendors yet. So we've been in a good place there.
How did you find these operating partners?
Most of them are just from doing deals across the country. I've been lucky enough to do some speaking at some REI clubs across the country and do other coaching and things like that. So I've been able to meet all kinds of people. And it's funny, you meet people and some people stick and some people don't. And it's funny, a couple groups of friends that I have, we've actually met maybe even 10 years ago when I was still figuring things out. And we've gone on cruises together. You know, we go on vacation, we go to like, you know, they'll get a cottage on a lake and we'll go spend a week with them and just play and have fun and then mastermind a little bit while we're there. So relationships and communication are huge.
That's a golden nugget. Absolutely. How has scaling your real estate holdings changed the way you invest?
You know, with the scaling, I have been able to have a lot more free time and especially going a little bit more passive with some of my investments that I actually have dove in to doing a lot more nonprofit work with real estate investing. So here in Denver, we have an organization called Archway Housing and Services, and it's affordable housing. We have over 600 units now.
Wow.
And, you know, we actually worked in two different communities to get over in both of the two communities, so a total of 40 veterans off the street. We've worked with the VA to find homeless vets to get them into housing and doing different projects. So again, scaling not only creates financial freedom, but it creates time freedom, which I think is even more valuable. And it gives you that ability to truly give back to your community. And, you know, there's a lot of nonprofit stuff I could do, but housing's what I know. So we're figuring out how to do all kinds of different creative deals. We're actually working on a deal. We're going to have 67 units of senior housing coming up, hopefully starting breaking ground in 2021.
Congratulations. Now, is that senior housing, is that also in the affordable space?
Yep. Yep. It'll all be affordable and we'll have like different services on there, you know, shuttles to get them to doctor's appointments and different things like that, which is cool instead of it just being housing.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of facilities that provide a roof, but provide services. We have food banks that have been really, really valuable, especially during COVID times. Mm-hmm. So people in our facilities are able to get, you know, spinach and things that, people, when money's tight, you can buy peanut butter and jelly, but you're not going to choose to buy vegetables and, other healthy things. So we provide a lot of food bank items that are very valuable to our, residents as well.
That sounds super rewarding.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So yeah, because the thing, the words like affordable in Denver, you know, those are, they typically don't go together. So for you guys to find and meet that need is fantastic. Let's talk about your current results. Like how long did it take for you to get, you know, to achieve your current results?
To achieve our current results, I would say, like I said, we had 2 years where we were treading water, you know, just doing stuff, but not necessarily moving forward. Probably another 5 years of strategic planning, and then probably another 5 years of, building the empire. And I'd say the last 2 years, I feel like I've gotten the opportunity to tread water again, if you will. You know, try all these new strategies, invest in some syndications, do the passive work. And I would say my key to success with that is a weekly planning meeting. I sit down every Sunday and I'm like, I have my big picture goals.
Right.
But I say, what do I need to accomplish this week to stay on track?
Sure.
And I plan out my day. And it's funny because I found, you know, setting goals and having actionable tasks, people sometimes think is a cheesy thing. Like, oh, every time you go to a workshop, somebody says set goals. And what I realized is when we weren't successful, it's because what we were doing every day, our actual tasks weren't necessarily aligned with our goals.
Right.
We were busy,
right,
but we weren't getting anywhere. And so, you know, I found amazing efficiency in my day. You know, what used to take me probably 20 hours a week, I can get down to maybe 2 hours a day. So, you know, I'm only spending half that time now because I know what I have to do next. I know how to get it done.
Wow.
And I don't stress about those uncomfortable calls I have to make, or I just do it so I can move on and then have that freedom.
Right. And that's one of the things we always ask ourselves is this moving the ball down the field? Or what I say is not confuse activity with progress.
Yes.
Because, man, we can be super active. I mean, there's so much to do. But if it's misfocused or not, you know, you don't have systems like you guys have implemented, then you can be plenty busy and get absolutely nothing done.
Yep.
So that's
exactly.
That's absolutely fantastic. Let's jump into the final four questions here.
Okay.
Investing in bigger assets. If you were to distill everything that you know and had to give only one piece of advice to an aspiring investor, what would that piece of advice be?
Build a team. I'd say almost building a team can be sometimes more valuable than getting all the knowledge in the world. So build a team that can support you and help you leverage to move forward.
That's awesome. Investing in yourself, what's one thing that you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
I am constantly reading and trying to grow. I am obsessed with podcasts and audiobooks. I'm pretty sure that there's headphones in my ears 50% of the day, whether I'm walking, driving, whatever it may be. Just always trying to get new knowledge and push myself to grow, not just in the real estate world, but in health, in community, and just knowledge of how to make the world a better place.
Right. That's awesome, which is my third question, which we've kind of already talked about, your housing, your affordable housing initiatives, but investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
Beyond that, I would say service organizations are huge. I'm president of my Kiwanis Club, have been president for 5 years now. I think Lions Club, Rotary Club, church groups, whatever you can do to just change the life of one person makes a huge difference in the overall effect of the world. And honestly, it feels kind of good to give too. So get involved with the service organization.
Sure. That's awesome. Andrea, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
I have two websites, AC Investment Group and wealthhealthgrowth.com. Or you can just send me an email at info@wealthhealthgrowth.com.
Great. And can you spell that first website for us?
It's ACINVESTMENTS.
.com. Okay. And how do you
AC Investments.
Got it. Okay.
So my husband's name's Chip, so it's Andrea Chip Investments.
Got it. AC. Okay. Sorry, I'm a little dense. We'll put that in the show notes so that people Perfect. Can find, get in touch with you guys. Andrea, it's been awesome having you on. Thanks for jumping
great
on and sharing
here.
All your expertise. Look forward to connecting again here soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor, and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.